Like,
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it.
My, oh my. Welcome back, my friend.
Wowzers.
You know, we had some things that we could have talked about that would have been incredibly productive. However, I think the most appropriate thing to talk about is our government shutdown and how important it is for our senators to get a good 8 hours of sleep tonight. Per Mitch McConnell, it's better to have some sort of resolution tomorrow than a failure tonight. So what he's saying is that there's going to be a resolution tomorrow?
It sounds like it. That, or, you know, a bird in the hand is better than two in somebody's bush. But come on. Hey, seriously? Not only is it irritating that their lack of productivity has affected our attempts at productivity, but this is your job. You have one job. And yeah. That is, you know, the House has the power of the purse per the Constitution. Keep the government open. Okay, and there's no one. So I know I'm getting way ahead of this here. This is all around comical. It would be funnier if there weren't serious things attached to this, obviously. But this is comical. That we need to rest. Oh, please do.
Yeah, it is.
Sweet dreams, Mitch.
Look, there's a lot of things to unpack here, and maybe this podcast will be completely irrelevant in 12 hours. But, well, not 12 hours, you know, 16, 18 hours. However,
you're being generous to our leaders.
Very much. But I do believe that it remains relevant because they are perpetuating the tribalism and just complete rift. I mean,
this dysfunction has become the norm. That's the issue here. It doesn't matter who's in power. This happened when the Democrats were the majority and Obama was president. It's happening now. And I'm going, you guys, you cracked me up. You've gotten, if you're the Senate, you can claim to have gotten two things done during Trump's first year. You got Neil Gorsuch confirmed to the Supreme Court, and yet you did ratify that or pass the tax bill. The House can claim one.
Which is, exactly.
Come on.
It really is laughable at this point. But, I mean, the words DMZ were actually used by a senator today, saying coming back tomorrow refreshed and back to the DMZ. Like, it's the demilitarized zone.
So this is the 38th parallel?
This is the 38th parallel. It is. It's that kind of talk, man. It's that kind of rhetoric that just.
Tom Cruise started it. I mean, he said that his movies, it's like being deployed in Afghanistan. Oh, wait. Nobody elected him.
Exactly. Let's see. Was it?
Never mind.
So it's just this back and forth. And I think what becomes it becomes sort of like a he said, she said, pointing fingers for who's responsible for this. And I think it's fair to say that it is no one's responsibility that the government shut down. It is everyone's responsibility who is in that building. It's their responsibility
that it did not get building.
Or not, I suppose. It is.
How many? I would love to know. In fact, I might look this up tonight. I'm going to make a note of this. I want to know if there was a quorum. I want to know how many people were present. And you better damn well have been in the hospital.
Yeah, there'll be. Okay. Who was not present at?
I mean, that's at congress.gov. It'll be present for that vote.
I guess you're right. Although you have to think, what did they need? How many more votes did they actually need? They needed 60, and it was 50.
But all this stupid filibustering over things that, may matter to you at the exact moment, Senator whoever, Representative whoever. But in the long and short of things, you know, all of you bitch about the VA. You didn't think it was necessary to keep them functioning at optimal levels?
Yeah.
What's your filibuster for that?
Yeah. There's so much there's so much to this that you can be upset about. And it becomes, again, so it's the whole he said, she said, finger pointing. There was an ad that was run today that was actually run by, I believe.
Okay, so let's rewind. Let's do,
sure.
Since this is like the Tea Party in Alice in Wonderland, let's do what the Mad Hatter said. Let's start at the beginning, and when we come to the end, stop.
All right, so what happened? What we do know is that the House managed to pass this, right? But that makes sense because...
The continuing resolution.
The continuing resolution, which I think is, and we've expressed, is bullshit because you're...
It's punting the ball.
It's punting the ball down the road. And I agree with the president when he says that we don't need any more continuing resolutions because it doesn't get anything done.
And his answer was...
Go ahead.
No, I mean, you know what it was.
So his answer to the to punting the ball down the road is the nuclear option, which...
Nukem!
Look, I have to agree that...
I agree with Republican leaders here in their answer.
I do. So obviously what we do know is it went to the Senate. The Senate was unable...
What is the nuclear option?
So the nuclear option means that... if the stalemate continues, they can propose would be the nuclear option, which only needs 51% of the vote to...
That would be a permanent procedural change.
A permanent procedural change.
And the reason it was prevented before is because it's called the dictatorship of the 51%, which it's easy to see how in times as polarized as these, why 51 Republican senators or 51 Democratic senators could do a whole lot that maybe a lot of the country doesn't want.
Oh yeah. I mean... There's
just look at what happened with Neil Gorsuch.
Exactly. There's a reason that it takes 60 votes. I mean, that's...
I think it's a good thing.
It's a very good thing because it actually is a safety net for far more of the majority than just 51%. I mean,
they were wise to turn down that option because I'm sure Mitch McConnell being... I agree with the general consensus. He's quite a tactician. I'm sure he could see a little down the path. What if we lose the majority? Let's say... I'm the minority leader, and there's 51 Democrats.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could do nothing complaining about that. I mean,
you could do nothing but complain about the president doing what he's done before and siding with the Democrats. That'd be a fun two or 3 years.
So if you think about it, I mean, the nuclear suggestion would indicate not only the ultimate failure in negotiation, but it would fundamentally alter the way the country is governed. I mean, it really would. And that, to me, is far scarier. So they did do... I do believe they most definitely strategically made the best decision there to
forego. In that sense, yes.
Now, I do believe... I do agree with the president that we need long-term budgets. We don't need CRs. That's 100%. I believe that. And punting it down the road is ridiculous because we just come up to this again. And if shutdowns...
We've been doing that since, what, 2010?
Pretty much, right?
When the Republicans retook the House.
Yeah.
It's basically saying, hey, the same thing we did last year, we're going to do it this year.
To me, it doesn't really instill any confidence of anything getting done. I mean,
you don't say.
Yeah, right. Okay. And so to dig deeper into this, there's obviously this finger pointing that's going on. There was an ad that was run today, that basically held the Democrats complicit in the murder of Americans from illegal immigrants. So this, I think it was, yeah.
So it's like in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, who's like, you voted for George McGovern and you killed Jesus.
It's pretty much sounding like that. So I'm trying to remember who it was. It was, it was Trump's, campaign, re-election campaign, and then Mark Short.
Just think about that phrase for a minute, everyone. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah,
Jeff.
I was gonna say, hold on there. Think about that. Campaign, and they. So the video says. So just to read here, the campaign released the ad as the government shutdown began on Saturday, touting Trump's immigration policies, including a construction of a wall on the U.S.-Mexico border.
So let me point out something. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Think about this for a second, though. This just literally struck me. They had this prepped. they obviously had this prep before the president went into negotiations with Chuck Schumer Friday night then.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't just make that video today.
Nope. No, that was pre.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pre.
Not a whole lot of confidence in your negotiating abilities, perhaps.
No, not at all.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Continue.
No, I mean that's exactly it. The video said Democrats who stand in our way will be complicit in every murder committed by illegal immigrants. And it,
what about legal Americans? Who's responsible for that?
Exactly. So I think this finger pointing is, you know, if I picked a side and stuck with it, I could easily point the finger at the other side and say you're complicit for everything that's going on. But that is what you do when you have a side. Now, as taking the centrist opinion, I try to look at both sides and try to weigh the balance as to who is more at fault for this. But, you know, as much as I try to do that, it doesn't matter.
Who suffers is the better question.
Exactly. And this is what we keep coming back to over and over again, is who actually suffers. And, you know, if they get it done, you know, by tomorrow, the idea is that they'll vote again at noon. And I don't know what's going to change between tonight and noon. For some reason, Mitch McConnell believes that they'll have some time to chew on it and then come back. As if you're principled enough to go ahead and shut down the government, what makes you think that overnight you're just going to, what are you going to read a few emails and hear the sob stories? Everybody's
going to get refills on their Xanax.
And then what? Come back and be like, you know what? I had some time to think. You're right. I don't want to be complicit in the murder of Americans. So, yeah, I guess I'll just roll over and not principled anymore. Like, why at this point would a Democrat who is, again, we're talking about re-election, and I mean, this is the Senate, of course, but this is campaign fodder for the 2018 midterms. I mean,
playing politics with the lives of everyday Americans.
Yes, and we can begin to walk down that line. I mean, again, we know.
I am not interested in Mitch McConnell or Charles Schumer's sheen at cocktail parties. I'm just not. And that's what this is about.
Yeah. It's, you know, you are.
Who blinked is what this is about.
Yeah, it pretty much is that kind of standoff. And I think I wouldn't be as irate about it if I hadn't had the experience of living through two government shutdowns. And for mm-hmm. most of my friends who have been in as long as I was in and longer now have gone through, this will be their third government shutdown. And, you know, I talked to a buddy just recently about this, and he said, you know, it's an echo chamber. He said, I'm out. And part of the reason is because I don't want to have to go through the stress. I think it's bullshit in the first place, and I just don't want to be at the mercy of trial lawyers who are playing politics. And it's true. I mean, going through a government shutdown, I mean, it costs billions of dollars. So think about where that money comes from. Let's say all museums during tourism season, not saying it's tourism season in D.C., but all the money that goes there is lost.
Is C-SPAN shut down?
I don't know. It's a good question.
It's really not, but
it's. I mean, it. I
nobody
do.
Nobody but me under the age of dad cares.
I do know that my friends overseas don't have their video entertainment.
They couldn't watch the playoffs today.
I think some of them did, but as soon as it shut down, everything shut off. So there's no connection there, and you know, not to mention it cost the government billions of dollars in the first place. And
let's go beyond the NFL playoffs here to things like the staffing of, I don't know, you and I both were there for our first shutdown. So we were both stationed at Walter Reed, the president's hospital. Let me tell you that it might not have hurt in the pharmacy. It might not have hurt in patient escort, but it hurt in the med-surg wards not having civilian augmentees.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they literally our staffing
is our workforce.
I was going to say, if not more, I mean, it is the backbone. That's what they say in the medical corps. Your backbone is your civilian force. And first off, I don't blame them for not showing up. I mean, they're furloughed. They're not making money, but it's a loss, and not to mention a loss to, so let's just say you're making, you know, GS 11, 12, which is a government, rating for your salary, essentially. So you can think GS-15, I think, is the highest. And typically your nursing staff are GS-11, GS-12, depending on your rank. But you look down at your GS-3 through 5s. And, we just kind of looked this up on Precast. Start thinking about how much debt people hold. So credit card debt. The average American credit card carrying debt is like 15 grand. Your student loans. The total debt owed by U.S. consumers is $1.3 trillion in student loans. The average student loan is $46,000. I mean, it's just insane. So what you do is you don't fund the government, and now individuals aren't getting paid. They've got families and mouths to feed, and now you're backed up on credit card bills. You're backed up on student loans, and that's a hole you have to dig yourself out of. So now you're talking about the morale of entire non-essential government workers, federal government workers. Just let it sink in. I'm not worried about senators and congressmen who are making $250,000 a year. I'm not worried about how they're paying for their mortgage.
But how do they feel right now?
I have to believe that politics, at some level, you just flip off the emotion switch.
Yeah, but my greater point here is, how many of these individuals are going to the Capitol Club or to Trump International Hotel tonight and laughing it up with some cocktails? I really would love to know.
I hope zero. But
you hope,
but I mean,
you're very sweet.
This is business as usual. I mean, if you're, and you got to think about it too. If you're principled, if you vote Democrat, then you're happy that they remained principled and they held their ground. If you're Republican, it's not like you don't support your Republican congressmen or senators because they, quote unquote, did everything they could and they stuck to their guns and didn't bow down for these horrific illegal immigrants. So, no.
I do see Mitch McConnell's point, however, that really the sticking point here is protections for, regardless of how they got here, illegal immigrants. I mean, do let that sink in for a second.
Yes. And again, this was something that I had to think about when I listened to that, or when I read that, rather. It did have to sink in. I did have to think, okay, so we have effectively shut down the government. My friends are running into the issue of potentially not getting a paycheck, and we're doing it for 700,000 undocumented U.S. children who are brought into the U.S. It hurts, but again,
it really colors the whole sticking to their principles things for the Democrats for me. Because again, you got to remember this is campaign season.
It does. However, then you can look to the Republicans and say, we're talking about 700,000 individuals who claim the United States as their country.
Oh, there's no pretty way to slice this.
There isn't. But you think about when you're talking about negotiation. Again, we're not talking about 15 million undocumented immigrants. We're talking about 700,000 individuals who have given their names, locations, addresses, telephone numbers, who are held to a code, who are held to some ethics, and who are working in the United States, who are going to school, who have served in the military. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about sanctuary cities. We're not talking about, we're talking about 700,000 people. So
part of the problem you have too is this gang of six, five of them were in the gang of eight, and they're also trying to attach this to a piece of legislation that would not only give them sanctuary, but also their parents. And that becomes an issue of 2.5 million.
Sure. So go ahead and elucidate on the gang
the Gang of Eight was a deal, a decade plus ago?
Yeah.
Further ago than that, because Orrin Hatch was around the turn of the millennium. But it was basically a bipartisan deal that was being made. Long story short, didn't pan out. Here we are again. Five of the six senators on this gang of six are, like, Lindsey Graham tipped his hand, a Republican senator from South Carolina, in that this is, they're trying to attach this to a far greater pro-amnesty piece of legislation, and I'm not commenting on whether or not that's a good thing. That's irrelevant here. what I'm getting at is that this water is a little murkier than just 700,000 or 800,000 people. I'm not being combative here. I'm not trying to be contrarian, but you're talking about potentially 2.5 million undocumented immigrants. It's not as clean cut as they're trying to make it sound. Okay, that's a different issue.
And that's fair. Again, I make the argument we aren't necessarily talking about amnesty for 15 million people. We're not talking, you know,
we're 2.5.
We are talking about 2.5, but we're also talking about almost half of those individuals who are already documented with our government. Who,
to me, this is the wrong discussion.
It is the wrong
discussion. Yeah. Should not be had while the government was closed. But I'm not saying the Republicans for saying that it shouldn't be had while the government's closed. The government should never have been allowed to close. Okay, You should do your jobs. Period. You should address issues quintessential to the operations of the American public government. You know that we've invested $20 trillion of debt into. Your kids, and if you and I have any kids, our kids will spend their lifetime paying off. That's critical. It should never have been allowed to get to this point. It doesn't matter if it's about DACA or the VA or the GI Bill or Social Security stipends. Doesn't matter. This is outrageous. Yeah. Just to send it to this point.
So do you think...
Nobody's right if everybody's wrong.
Fair. Yeah. So do you think that if this was not... I mean, this happens every year, but... If this was not a campaign season, do you think this would be sort of a non-starter at this point?
Well, they didn't pass a long-term spending bill last year.
Which is true. But again, I don't think DACA was.
Okay. That's as though to pretend there haven't been non-election years since they started these continuing resolutions 8-9 years ago.
I think the real issue. Maybe. Yeah. The real issue is that it's another CR. It's another continuing resolution.
That's the thing. They've had non-campaign years with which to get something done.
Yeah.
It's just, that's an excuse.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, how we got here 8-9 years ago. I mean, this is both parties. Again, this happened, this began with the whole thing got crammed down the non-democratic country's throat, the ACA. I mean, you could argue that it began in 07, really, when Charles Schumer ironically said, it doesn't matter who it is, what happens, we're not confirming another Bush-appointed justice. Well, they didn't like that when the tables got turned with Merrick Garland. My point is, that was not the time to say, ha-ha, who was going to be the expletive-deleted adult in the room? At what point does this stop? Because, again, we're talking about, I don't know if you read the column that I sent you. Can take you over 30,000 years to count to 1 trillion. Now you add that up for $20 trillion.
Okay,
that's how massive the debt is, that if you and I have any children at this point, I think it would almost be morally reprehensible for me to have any.
So that's, that goes to the broader, the broader concern of this entire thing is punting the federal deficit down the road. And we have we've kind of scheduled out a tentative schedule.
Yeah, I'm not trying to go there with this.
But it's we've scheduled out a tentative schedule for the next basically like month and a half. And
at least we try and stick to ours.
Yeah. Well, and the
we're not getting paid $250,000 a year to fail.
Yeah. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. Who actually did what?
But you can't get anything done. That's all you do. That is your one job, is to meet with fellow elected officials. And I know I'm making this sound overly simplistic, but perhaps because it is.
Yeah.
You're too busy looking to go to cocktail parties and sounding good, junkets and sound bites, to actually do what you were sent there to do.
And spending the obligatory time per week on the phone for campaign donations and donations to whatever party, DNC or RNC, which it just eats. And every single one of those senators and congressmen hate doing it, but it's the machine that we've created by having this two-party system, the need for money running campaigns. And when you eat up that time doing stuff like that, then you don't have time to do the things that matter most. And that is actually having some sort of meaningful long-term budget and quit punting this damn thing down the road because we're going to be in the same place. Some sort of
meaningful long-term anything.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, it's like, what is it? Again, I come back to Office Space. What is it that you would say that you do here? I mean, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's do something. Hey, what is it that you spend your time up there for, a lifetime pension? And again, that's a base salary we've been talking about. It's more if you're on subcommittees and committees. It's longer with tenure and holding a majority or minority post. These are people that, yeah, they went to Washington to do very well, I'm sure, and they're doing very well for themselves.
Yeah. It's, I always like to think, I mean, obviously I've not been voted in for what I do, but if I had to do my job, and I did it in the same way and was based on how much I get done, I would be fired from my job. And that's, again, that's election. That's what you vote for. But, you know, it's...
I mean, we wouldn't fire you from Mod State.
Well, I appreciate that.
You've done a great job. I mean, you know, it's just laughable to me to think that you get paid all this money, this tremendous amount of money to get, what, one, two things done a year, and so maybe we'll handle the rest of your concerns. We're going to take 12.
So here's an interesting, this is how negotiations are working, right? So Rand Paul.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he had said the Democrats spiked his immigration compromise to end the shutdown. So he said that.
They spiked it as in with a substance or like a football?
I believe it's like a football. So he proposed.
Shame.
He proposed that he pitched a reopening in exchange for allowing Democrats a week of debate on immigration policy. So he said it's gamesmanship and partisanship. He says, I gave them an answer. Here's the answer of how you solve this today. Promise, guaranteeing writing to Democrats that there will be 1 week's debate on immigration and a vote on an immigration bill sometime in the next month in the House and Senate. What do you think Democrats said? Nope. So,
well, I wouldn't trust any of them because, I mean, you were sent there by the American people to do a job that you took an oath to do. You raised your right hand.
Yeah.
And you're not doing, so why should I believe any of you?
Sure. So he says, now, when I presented this to those in the Senate and Senate Dick Durbin from Illinois, they said, oh, no, we want guaranteed passage on a must-passed bill. And he said, nobody gets a guaranteed passage.
And I see that, and to me, that is kind of irresponsible to attach to a spending bill.
And that's, again, something we've talked about here before.
I do see that point.
And I see it, too. I mean, you can't – it's like what we've talked about. Nothing's guaranteed. And obviously, they were playing the strategy game, too. It's like, oh, so we're going to have a week of debate on the immigration bill and then vote for it? What are the chances of this thing passing? We're the minority. I mean, it's
– And I see that. I don't like the idea of – You want guaranteed passage of a new piece of legislation in order to continue funding the government?
Yes. So that is something we've talked about that is problematic. I don't remember what podcast it was, but we said if there's any sort of reform, it would be creating. So we'll take the ACA, for example. There was a lot of extra fluff thrown in there. And just like this, it's a budget. It's a bill to pass a budget. Yet we continue to add
fluffers.
We continue to add extra things in there that just muddy the waters more and more. Now, I don't remember what we actually alluded to, but I think it was along the lines of...
I just alluded to fluffing.
Fluffing. It was a new thing. We're fluffing. That's what we call it when we put it...
Well, go ahead and
but
research that term.
But think about... so you only put... And maybe someone can who's more of a political scientist and more in tune with how policy works.
Oh, God. But, I'm sure they'll... Make this clear as mud.
Sure. That when you are passing a bill on something like the budget, or you're passing a bill on immigration, or whatever it is, that is what is included in the bill.
Well, they got rid of earmarks for a reason.
Exactly.
That's my whole point here to Democrats.
Right. So, you know,
I'm not signing with the Republicans here. I get DACA should have been handled.
That's the thing.
The president promised that.
He did promise that.
That point.
But
to shut to it to say that we want guaranteed passage of a new piece of legislation to fund the basic operations of the government, I don't agree with that either.
Yeah, I just believe that this overall, this is not the place, because I do believe that there should be something passed on DACA. I do believe.
I agree.
It, but I would just say this is not the place to do it, because as much as I believe that there should be something in place for those who are under DACA, I also
open the government and say we're going to filibuster the dog shit out of y'all until we address this issue. Nothing else is getting done. Cool.
That's a way to do it. You know, I have people that work in the government who stand to lose a lot more than you do, Senator, whoever, than because of this mess. And again, it's
Jesus.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. It's certainly problematic, and
savages.
I don't know. Hopefully they get something squared away, but you know, I think
great news. Jeff Sessions is having the same night he's having every other night. I mean, I don't recall. Well, that's good. Tonight's a good night for you not to recall, Jeff. Be glad you don't remember.
Well, it's a good night because the heat's not on him. So
he's loving it.
So, well, I mean, certainly sort of all stalemates right now, and all eyes are on the government to effectively start something. And again, it's I feel for those who have to go through this again. And like, you know, like we said before, I've got, well, you and I, and then other friends who, I mean, this is a reason they get out. It's just not, you know,
the second time around, I was done.
Most government.
I didn't join the Navy to become a politician.
Most government workers do get some sort of retroactive pay, which is good, but that doesn't, you know, it's just not good for overall morale. And I think there's less emphasis given on how this affects Americans than there is focus on just the infighting and the partisanship that goes on in D.C. And I've watched families stress about it. I have watched families literally are unsure how they are going to move forward. And it just, you can't continue to put the American people in the position where they're unsure how to plan their life because of a government so-and-so, government shutdown. Now, again, that's the nature of working in the government, so I don't know.
This is one of those things where we look at the broader scope, and it's like, how do we get here? And this sort of, again, I think it kind of goes back to the 07, 06 time frame, but we're talking about basically 12 years later. We're still in this phase of we're not passing an actual budget. We're caught up in 7 different armed conflicts across the globe. Our infrastructure is nearing that of a third world country, if not already there, depending upon who you listen to.
Or where you live.
Right. Our national debt, which they kindly relabeled the public debt, has passed $20 trillion. I mean, at what point do we get serious and actually, it's just bizarre to me that this keeps being put up and the mainstream media feeds into this, because, of course, most of them are going to just take the sides of the Democrats here and go, if you think that's an answer, I'm sorry for you.
Yeah. Okay?
The other side is just digging in your heels and saying the Democrats are inherently wrong. Every one of these clowns is a part of this.
Yes.
And the ones that aren't, they need to be more vocal, because I'm not hearing a whole lot of dissenters. Good for Rand Paul that he put forth a compromise, even though I don't think I would have taken it either. But this is beyond a non-starter. I don't care that it's an election year. Okay? I don't.
Yeah.
This is your job. You have one job.
Yeah.
And this continues. And they wonder, oh, I'm so sorry you're worried about going to town halls and getting yelled at. I wonder why.
Yeah. It's I think that becomes the narrative here is why this has become the norm. And I think when we become, and people have had issues with this since Trump was elected, and you know, this is we're afraid that this is the new norm. And
this didn't start with him, as I elucidated.
It did not.
Well over a decade ago.
So, I mean, I was just looking at some histories of government shutdowns, and you know, they started back in '76, and some of these ridiculous reasons are the abortion shutdown. Abortion shutdown number two, the abortion shutdown number three, Jimmy Carter versus the nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. Next, number six, higher pay, fewer abortions. Shutdown seven, this was Reagan promised to veto any spending bill that didn't include at least half of his proposed $8.4 billion in domestic budget cuts. There was another shutdown under...
That one was about trying to accomplish something.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
At least there was a purpose there. Here it's just like...
So this was another Reagan one, and that really happened. It didn't happen for any reason. It was just... It hadn't passed a new spending bill in time, so that was solid.
You forgot where it was.
Yeah, right. There's...
No, it's not a B-movie set, even though it sure looks and sounds like one.
Yep. There's more nuclear. There was more nuclear shutdowns. A welfare expansion fail. This was under Reagan. There was a lot under Ronald Reagan. I'll give you that. And I mean, there's. I think you could most definitely. There's always. I mean, obviously, some of these maybe were more appropriate, like resolutions on Medicare premiums. Because it obviously is government funding, but
it's too bad we can't jet over to Walter Reed tomorrow and see how it looks.
I can imagine.
Well, I mean, I just wonder. I mean, what do you think Wanda will be doing if she has the day off?
Who knows? There's plenty.
What does she do for pleasure?
I don't want to know.
Well, do you think maybe? I mean, because I've still got the number. I mean, do you think I should get the old girl on an interview call?
I think you should. I think anyone who is experiencing life over there in Washington, D.C., you know, maybe...
life on the fifth floor,
maybe this time around, it's just another shutdown. No big deal.
20-plus years on the fifth floor.
So that
think
she's,
about that.
Yeah, that's a few government shutdowns. She's a government shutdown veteran.
She is a warrior. I mean, all right. So I know this is really besides the point, but so I had this dream last night, and this is true. And for whatever reason, I mean, it's a dream, you know, but I had Senator John Kennedy's cell phone number out, and so I called him amidst these investigations. And I landed there in D.C. with Haynes, of all things, you know, and so I got him on the phone amidst this massive conversation going on. And I was like, well, sir, you know, if this isn't a good time, I can always call back. And he's like, yeah, this isn't a really good time. And I was like, well, you know, when can I call you back? You know, and I was trying to square away an interview or what. And I just hung up. And I'm thinking, you know, does he have anything better going on right now?
Well.
Do you think that there was any real perspiration today in the Senate?
As I breathe,
I mean, this is a mockery.
Yeah. It. Yeah. It almost leaves me just speechless. It's not that I have nothing else to talk about with it. It's just. It really. I mean, even China. So we talked about leadership, right? We talked about this confidence in leadership.
With one party, you ought to be able to pass a budget.
Right. We control all three houses. And even China...
I mean China has one party total.
Yes, they do. However, you know, they're able to... When you've got other nations... And this is a more macro perspective here, but when you've got nations where they believe that the confidence in American leadership is eroding... Then you have other nations, regardless of whether they're good nations or they're bad nations, are able to
step
up.
Naughty nations.
Naughty. They're able to step up and and say, "Look, this is the lack of leadership. This is the chaos that is the West, and this is their inability to get things done." Now,
you look up
I think
Australia and be all like, "Come here, girl."
I think most hopefully most people can look past that, but it's just another thing that you can use against the United States, another finger that you can point. It's another notch in the belt. It's another failing. And it just, it couldn't have come at a worse time when there shouldn't be any of this happening in the first place. I mean, it's regardless of bipartisanship or partisanship, you control all three. You know, obviously, you need to have.
You need I don't to have know 60 that votes. Anybody controls the executive branch.
That is to be certainly discussed. It's
wild horses.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think for this midweek wrap, because we did talk quite a bit in precast about the. Maybe it wasn't necessarily inequality, but we started talking about the amount of debt that Americans hold and, you know, who these parties are actually working for and who this actually affects.
The American people.
The American people. Now, I think we can save it for the midweek wrap because I hope by then there is no more government shutdown. And quite frankly, if there is still a government shutdown, my opinion from today, and I'm sure your opinion from today holds the same on Wednesday.
I'll just be inebriated.
And well, along with 75% of the Senate. So
it's my turn.
It's your turn. But I've
been a good boy.
You've been good. You've been working hard.
And I've been sober lately.
Good. That's
not because I should do that, but I mean, you know, just taking some time to kind of clear my scope of
there you
things.
Go. Well, if you had to pick a day, and had a needed a reason, I give you full. Not that it's my authority, but.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to do it anyway, just because that's what they want.
That's what they want. That's what they want you to do.
They want you to go to the store because that's all that, you know, if you're not in the top 15%, that's all we blow our money on, right?
Well, it's very true.
Booze and girls.
It's very true. Booze, girls, and cigarettes. And
I don't smoke anymore. And
yeah, there you go.
You know what condition I wouldn't date again under, you know, as Chris Rock put it.
So you're just.
And I'm not even boozing. So I'm like, what am I doing?
What are you doing?
I'm not living up to what they think I ought to be doing.
Well, you know what? That's a way to stick it to them, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what? Good for you.
You know, we're going to email them going, you know what? I'm not dating. I'm not smoking cigarettes. And I'm not drinking.
What are you? Who are you?
So what do you think?
My
You know, gosh. I'm just going to ask him, Senator John Kennedy, let me tell you something. Senator, if that's your name.
Click. Dial tone.
Yeah, you hung up on me in my dream. Well, guess what? Man, he would go, who in God's name? Well, actually, he knows. He'd be like, yeah, just block that number.
Block that number if he hasn't done it already.
Well, that's true. I mean, well, that's the thing. It was like in my wildest dreams, literally in real life, I would not call this man in the midst of a government shutdown. Like, why? The mind in general is a curious thing, but
oh, man.
Can you imagine being paradropped into the inner recesses of mine?
Yours? No.
Yes.
No. Not at all.
Wanda just dug Ian in.
Nope. Good Lord.
It is amazing that I quit smoking after all these years, but what's really extraordinary, aside from the not drinking thing, is, and not that I'm not dating. That's not even amazing. It's like that ever happened at all.
The quitting or the actually doing all of that?
Well, I mean, the fact that I managed to pull all of those, tie all those things together, I suppose, all those years, like,
yeah.
Who dated this train wreck?
Well, I'll tell you what, man, congratulations. I give you full props to be able to cut all of those things out at once, basically. Well, not all at once, but relative to an entire lifespan.
Well,
that's a short
period
of time. Well,
all things got cut since Labor Day.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean, so in...
You're having your own little shutdown. I like it.
Well, yeah, I guess so. And maybe that's why I'm just more ornery with the House and the Senate. It was a lot easier to just kind of...
Yeah, well, that's what they want you to do. They want you to numb the pain. They want you to forget. and they want you to wake up tomorrow and shake it all off and forget what happened yesterday. And
well, I'm not. I'm getting up early and I'm putting on C-SPAN if it's still operating, and I'm going to watch this thing out.
I think that's a good way to go. Let's see.
They don't want me to stay sober. Think about this. Think about a lot of people would rather that I not be sober. Because then, you know, that divinity dude, now he's paying attention again. Oh, God.
Is C-SPAN working during... I believe it is, because they're reporting on it. So,
well, when I come visit you, I'm gonna smoke some left-handed cigarettes, of course.
Fair enough.
I mean, that's cool, but yeah, no more cigarettes for me. I really don't drink that much anymore, and I mean, you know that. I have no more room for new digits or
new ladies. Well, you know what?
Yeah. Good on you. I've been there, done that. Got the
You're certainly saving money. Maybe mental health, and most definitely a bit of sanity. So
yeah. I mean, and I'm sure there's all kinds of nice girls out there that as we advance, they're gonna be like, it's a real shame because he's like, nope, nope.
Oh, just you wait.
It's not a shame. Just I wait, dude. You know it's gonna happen. It's gonna. But he's so dreamy, and you're like, are you kidding me? No, he's not dark and dreamy. He's evil.
I'll do whatever I can.
He likes Richard Nixon, for Christ's sake.
Well, you know what? I think if she knows who he is and can elaborate on anything further than being able to pick his picture out of the lineup, I think you keep talking.
Well, dude, the thing is, though, I mean, opposites attract. So, you know, it's going to be some, if it ever was to happen, it's going to be some JFK fan or something.
Well, then that's cool, though. Hey, I mean, that's a lot to talk about.
You'd be able to put up with her then.
Yeah, sure. But you'd have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I'm afraid that you and I can't exactly get divorced. So.
No, we cannot.
You know, our significant others at least have to be able to coexist in the same swath.
That's very true. That is very true. So, we'll tell you what, man. We'll be back... obviously for the midweek wrap, and hopefully we're not talking about this damn shutdown.
Hopefully not. I'll have some sort of, I'm going to divvy up some sort of editorial report tomorrow on this where we're at. And I dreamed about it because I am supposed to try and get a hold of Senator Kennedy tomorrow.
Hey, just go for it.
I mean, if he hangs up on me, I appreciate his time. So,
I'll be it brief.
All right, sir. Hope you vote to pay the troops or something.
Right. So, well, brother, we'll be back, of course, next couple days here. And as always,
hey,
yeah, go
good
to,
talk to you.
Absolutely.
Good talk to you.
So we'll see ya. Bye. Thank you for tuning into the Mod State podcast. If you like what you hear, please go to modstate.com where you can find more of our op-ed and opinion pieces, as well as the links to the podcast. If you're on your desktop, laptop, or not cell phone, all the links to the podcast are on the left-hand side, and at the top, you can find all the links to our social media outlets. If you're on your cellular device and you log into modstate.com, scroll all the way down to the bottom where you can find the links to the podcast. You obviously can find us at podomatic.com and on iTunes. If you do find us on iTunes, please log in, subscribe, and leave us a comment and a good star rating because it helps us reach more people. And as always, if you're listening to us, wherever you're listening to us from, please do so, continue to do so, and please spread it word of mouth. We certainly appreciate your support and hope your new year is going well and you're sticking to your resolutions and getting more done than our government seems to be able to get done in 2018. I think I said happy 2018. I hope the new year's going well. Either way, I'm out. We'll see you later.